You guys glad to be in God's house this morning? Yes. Amen. Good time of worship that we had together. Can you turn me down just slightly? As the children head out, I'm going to do my best to bring some encouragement to you this morning. Something that's been on my heart and on my mind for some time. I just want to encourage some of you, especially some of you who have been asking God to do something in your life for a long time, and it seems like it's happening for everybody else, but it's not happening for you. I got good news for you this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good news. Good news. It's good to come to the house of God and get some good news. We see enough bad news in the news, and we see enough turmoil in the news. It's nice to come to God's house and find some relief from that stuff. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel. And when you find it, say amen. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. The first book of Samuel. Beginning to read at verse 1. Now, there was a certain man at Rathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zuf, at the Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And they had Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Before I move on, that's an interesting thought. Because in today, church teaches us to positively confess what you're going to get from God. But yet here is a situation where God is saying no. And it doesn't matter how much she would could confess it positively until God says yes, it's not going to happen. The devil didn't shut up her womb. Her circumstances didn't shut up her womb. It was God who shut her womb. Can I explain to you sometimes that there's going to come a time in your life where it's not going to work out the way you want it to work out, but you still got to hang on to God. It's not going to be what you want it to be, but you still got to trust God. Mm-hmm. And you might be saying yes, but the whole time you're saying yes, God's saying no. You still have to trust God. Amen. Because we're looking at a moment and an instant in time for ourselves, but God is looking at an eternity concerning you. Amen. Yeah. Let's keep reading. I think that's good news for somebody already right there, because you're thinking your circumstance is a result of some sin or something that the enemy is doing to your life. But I want you to know it's not the enemy. It's not your sin. It's God who's saying it's not going to happen till I say it's going to happen. But let me give you some encouragement so you know where I'm going. Because he said it's not going to happen now doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. It's just not going to happen now. But the day is coming when the thing you've been praying for is going to happen in your life. Are you with me so far? Oh, boy, we're ready to go. You know, they was talking about the Mayweather-McConnell-Gregor fight last night, but we're getting ready to have a fight in here because the enemy has been lying to some of you, and I'm getting ready to throw a knockout blow, and they ain't going to have to wait to the 10th round. We're going to do it in the first round. He's going down. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she had went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. That's really important for you to understand, because year by year she goes to Shiloh. And Shiloh means peace, place of peace. But she's going to a place where she's not finding any peace. Woo. And all she is finding is heartache in a place she should be finding peace. Sometimes life is like that. But I don't want you to fold back and draw back when you're in that kind of a circumstance or situation. Because the blessing, the release, the thing that God has for you is right in the middle of the struggle that you're having. And he is not going to leave you there without bringing forth the thing that he desired or designed for your life. But while it seems like a mess, I want you to rest assured that while it seems like a mess, it's not a mess, it's just transition. Turn to somebody and say, it's just a transition. It's just a traveling from one place to another. But it's all going to change when God says it's time to change. Ah, boy. I've been encouraged all week long because sometimes, you know, concerning this building, we've been working on this building back here for 10 years. And sometimes the enemy will weep and look and speak into my ear and say it's not going to happen and ridicule me and say, look at everybody else. They're getting blessed. But let me tell you something. This message ministered to me more than it's probably going to minister to everybody else in this place, because it's not here yet, but he put it in my heart again that it is going to come. Are you hearing me this morning? It's going to come. I don't care what your circumstance may be, your disappointment or the stuff that has been disapproved or dysfunctional in your life. You keep pressing into God because it's going to come. The Bible says you keep asking, if you keep knocking, if you keep seeking, if you keep going after it, you're going to receive it. Are you hearing me? Oh boy. And so, anybody remember what verse I stopped at? So Hannah arose after that. She finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon my affliction, your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying to the Lord, that Eli washed her mouth. And now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. You know, sometimes when you're really pressing into God and people are looking at you and forming judgments about you because the fruit that you should be producing is not there, they look at you and they measure you based on their own circumstances and say, why isn't your life like my life? You have got to keep pressing in, even though they may think you're crazy, like Eli thought she was crazy. You got to press in, because it may look bad, it may feel bad, and it may look dire, but your blessing, it's on the way. I've got one word for you. Keep worshiping. Don't stop worshiping your God. I don't care what it feels like. Keep lifting your hands and keep calling on his name. The change is on the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You know, in my heart, I feel it. I feel it, really feel it, because sometimes you get discouraged and people are just weighed down by the discouragement. And they say, well, will it ever happen? It's going to happen. Amen. You keep knocking. You keep asking. And you keep seeking. Don't quit worshiping, because it's on the way. Verse 16. Do you not consider your maidservant a wicked woman? For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken unto you now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition. which you have asked him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That's good, see, because she comes to a turning point in her life. When her life is settled and she understands something. Can I tell you something? There are two people, two characters in this text. Now, I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to get to something, but I want to set a stage. Two characters in this place here, and Hannah just comes to a place of a transition, a place of where she understands something. See, her name means grace. Mm-hmm. Hannah's name means grace. Peninnah's name, it means jewel or pearl. And she represents the stuff that we go after, the glitz and the glam, and everything that we find to be fulfilling. But Hannah represents what we need. Glory be to God. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, I don't care what you're going through and how God seems to be blessing everybody else. You still have all you need in the presence of Jesus Christ. You have him. His grace is all you need. I don't need everything else that anybody else has. All I want is what he has for me. And he has grace abundantly for me. And that grace will sustain you through any circumstance. It will sustain you through any disappointment. His grace will uphold you and keep you. When everybody is ridiculing you for not having what you should have, you got what God wants for you to have. Glory be to God. Visitors, forgive me, but I get excited from the word of God. Like I always tell everybody, I've been delivered from something. My marriage has been healed. My addiction to alcohol and drugs was delivered from. So this word delivers me. Yeah. Can you tell me where I stopped at now? Nobody can remember. 18 or 19? Mm-hmm. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and they called him Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. And Samuel's name means the Lord has heard me. God hears you in the middle of your cry. I'm going to talk to you today about this topic. It's called the power of painful worship. The power of painful worship. Father, I ask you to help me this morning. And I ask you to help me declare your goodness, declare your word, declare your plan for your people. In Jesus' name. Like I said this morning, this started this, I want to encourage some of you. Because some of us need a little bit of encouragement. We need to know that this is a plan of God. God has a plan. And we need to just keep pushing. Because some of us, we live in a time and we have unfulfilled expectations. We came to God and we recognize the call of God. Yet the fruit doesn't seem to manifest. We're calling on the name of the Lord and it seems like everybody else around us are receiving the blessings of the Lord. They're fruitful. Everything's happening for them, but nothing's happening for me. Yeah, they're being blessed. God is using them, but they're not. He doesn't seem to be using me. Yet I keep reaching out and keep calling upon God. But why? I know we ask ourselves these questions sometimes. Why not me? Why isn't it happening for me? And I speak especially to us over 60-year-olds, because we still have mountains to claim. We're not dead yet. And I'm like Caleb, give me my mountain. I may be over 60 years old, but I'm alive and I'm full of vitality of the Holy Ghost, and I am pressing on until I claim what God has promised for me. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing down. I'm not throwing in the towel, because it's very easy when you see everybody else getting what God has got for them and you're not getting it. It's really easy for us to sit down and say, okay, maybe this wasn't his promise. And it's easy for us to shut down and just call it a day and then coast into glory. I'm not coasting into glory. I'm walking in the glory, and I'm walking onto those golden streets, and I'm walking proud, not proud of myself, but proud of what God has done in my life and what he is going to do. Not giving up. Not backing down. I'm not throwing in the towel. It's really easy for us to do that, right? You know, I know how it is. I'm 60 years old, and I ain't been saved all my life. And when I came to God and began to live this life, there have been challenges. There have been things that set in at times that would cause doubt. But just because I might have a little doubt, a little fear of what's happening or not happening, doesn't mean that changes who God is. And I have to remember that he is God regardless of my circumstances. Challenge here, though, because here's something. It's a very unusual story. A very unusual story. Because here we go. Here's a person entering into a story. Here's a story about a lady who has no real promise. And when you look in Scripture, you find out these patriarchs and people who begin to do something for God, they start out with a promise. But here's Hannah, who has no promise of anything. In fact, she is barren of the thing that she wants. Her womb is barren. What was given to her to produce what she wants cannot produce. She has no promise. In fact, you might call this a hopeless situation. But yet, I don't care how hopeless it looks, it's not impossible for God. Now, listen. Very unusual story. The first thing I want to talk to you about, let me ask you this question. What do you do when you have a certain perception of God, but that perception turns out to be wrong? What do you do? We have a perception of God as this God who's going to grant everything we call upon him for. Now listen to me. We're going to go somewhere, but I need you to answer, need you to listen. And we think that everything that God is doing in our world is about us. But it's not. It's about him. And what he gets out of your life concerning his glory. Or in other words, concerning how other people view him through your life. And it's not going to be easy at times. You know, we preach a gospel out there now that we say you come to Jesus and everything's going to work out fine. It's going to be splendid. All you have to do is just say, I want this, and God's going to give you what you want. I confess it, it's going to come to me. Money cometh. All I have to do is say the right words in the right format. All I have to do is decree and declare, and it's going to happen. That's not God. He doesn't work like that. He doesn't work according to our plan or our preferences. He's got a plan concerning your life, and he's working his plan right on time. It's not just about you, and it's not just about me. It wasn't just about Hannah, because there were people around Hannah. There was a country around Hannah. Can I just say that some of you are going through a tough time because you're looking at everybody and what they're doing and what God's going to do. I want to tell you, you're in a good place right now. It may not feel like it, but you're in a good place right now because God sets you up to put you in a situation where you have to seek him. Amen. It ain't going to happen for you. You have to seek him. But I'm promising you, when you seek him, you're going to find him. When you knock on the door that he has for your life, it's going to be opened to you. So So we see, let me just hurry up and get to this. I'm not even going to hang around. You know, I have this big old, preachers, you know, we put this big old introduction and preamble together so we can try to, you know, hype it up a little bit. But I'm going to go straight to the points. I want to go straight to what I need to share for you, share with you, because this is personal to me. Personal. It says, what's the first thing? Okay, if we're going to be a recipient, if we're seeking God, and we're going to be a recipient of the thing we're seeking God after, during this time of worship, because remember, listen, whatever's happening in our life will affect our worship if we're not careful. It can affect our worship. It can cause us to either give God everything or we just reserve what we give because of what we're in. See, it's easy when everything's going well. Oh, God, you're wonderful. I love you, Lord. And give him all and just give him. But yet when the tough time comes, it's like it goes from capital G to little g. We start, you know what I mean, God. You know, we need to be as passionate about God, as passionate in our worship towards him as we are when it's good, as when it's bad too. There should be no difference in what we're giving to him. Because it doesn't change. Okay, first thing, first. What are we going to do if we're going to be recipients? If we're going to receive what we're asking for, so what do we got to do in this time of worship and coming up? You got to know in this time that you're loved first. You got to know that. See, our biggest problem is we equate our situation to God's feeling towards us. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't love me because if he loved me, he would give me. But the Bible says that her husband, Elkanah, gave her a double portion. Glory be to God. See, he made his choice clear. He gave portions to Peninnah, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion. I put up with Peninnah, but I love you, Hannah. You need to know in the middle of the situation that you're in, while you're seeking God and you're going without the blessing or the stuff that's happening in everybody else's life, you need to know that God loves you. And he doesn't love you any less or more than the other person. He loves you, but listen, he's going to make it clear and he's going to give you what you need to sustain you through that time. Elkanah gave to Hannah a double portion. Whatever that is, it's going to be what you need to get you through the time you're going through. You know, I have friends, not all my friends got what they needed, you know, as far as buildings. I have these preacher friends around the U.K., but I got this one friend down in Devon, and his name is Bob Hyde. And Bob has been waiting I've been waiting for 10 years. He's been waiting for 20 years. And we kind of confide and bless and encourage each other in the situation. And you know, I sat down one day, and I said, God, this is the conclusion I came to. God, even if you don't give the building, you've given me a building. And there are thousands of people in the United States who passed through this church who are still a part of this building. See, we're looking for the thing that makes us feel good, and God is working the thing in your life that's going to build the kingdom. Yeah. So I want to encourage some of us. Sometimes everybody is getting, you know, people are getting, and they start looking at you. No, don't jump, bro. Jeremy scared me. He kind of didn't know what he was going to do. No,
what
Jeremy.
What I got to do? What I got to do?
Don't do anything, bro, please. Huh? But we have these people that hang around, and we've got everything. You know, they've got everything. Everything's happening for them. And you're sitting there and nothing's happening, but yet you know inside God's got a plan. You can't see it, can't discern it, don't know what's happening. But they looking at you saying, look at what I got. Penaniah was year after year. Listen, look at the consistency of Hannah. Hannah never gave up on God. Listen, this is not just year after year going up to the temple, but every day of her life before Samuel came, she had to face the ridicule of this woman. Now, I know some of us wouldn't take that. You ain't got what I got. Oh, yeah, but you got this. Am I right? Let's be real. But here's Hannah. She's not submitting to that stuff. She is hanging in with God. And Penaniah is screaming in her ear, you don't have this. You don't have that. You have got to have the strength, the fortitude of God, the Holy Ghost in your life to be able to say, that's okay. I'm going to hang in there until my change comes. I'm going to be like Job was. And he says, I don't care what's happening to me now. I know that a man is old and then as a man is young and he goes into the grave, but I'm going to wait until my change comes. There's got to be something inside of you that says it's going to happen. Okay? So firstly, you worship knowing that you're loved. She was given a double portion. Secondly, worship keep knocking even though it seems like God said no. I think this is incredible because she goes to a place. Remember, God shut up her womb. She goes to a place called Shiloh to worship. Shiloh means peace. It means the place where you can find peace in the presence of God. But all she finds every time she goes is a reminder that she's barren. A reminder that you have no fruit, but Penaniah has. How many of you have been in that place before when you wanted God to do something in your life and you say, God, I know you're there and I know you're able. And you're doing it and everybody else is like, when is my turn coming? And we go into this place of worship and, there's been times I've been to a place, I come into a place of worship years ago when Lisa and I first started coming here. We used to have this pain. There was some things going on and we come in here and there was this spirit. Na 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 na, la li la li la la. You ain't got this. I got it all. It's real, isn't it? It may not be the person who's saying it, but there's a spirit that emphasizes what God is doing in their life, trying to get you to be discouraged. And see, what I like about Hannah, she didn't pretend. You know, we come to church, and Hannah didn't come in there and say, oh, that's okay. My day's coming. And put on we put on the facade like everything's okay. No, Hannah was crippled in her spirit, and she began to cry out to God because of what she desired from God wasn't happening. She didn't play the just be positive thing, you know. I'm good. Brother, sister, you all right? No, I'm good. I got it together. God's going to bless me. I'm blessed. No, you ain't blessed. You are in a position where you are transitioning. How many know transitioning is painful? And you are transitioning. There is a change coming into your life. And the only way the product and the fruit of the change is going to take place is that you seek God. It's not going to happen automatically. And there has to be a pressing into God. And here she says, it's really easy for us to sit there. Oh, I just think about this all week. Because that's what we do in church life. We come in. I remember when Marlon first came. Marlon came in. He walked in the back door. And I said, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing? And he looked at me and said, I'm just blessed. I'm ready to hear the word of God. And I'm just ready to be here. And I'm glad to be here, and I want God to talk to me. And I wasn't feeling good. I was feeling like, man, I want to run. I want to hide. I don't even want to be here this morning. You know, we got to be real. Amen. You ever heard about being real? Amen. in church. And I was just, I'm being real. I'm always like that. And I said, God, I just can't take it. I don't even want to stand up there and preach because I don't feel like I exemplify what you're telling me to say. And I said to Marlon, I didn't even know him yet. I said, bro, I just don't feel it today. He said, that's okay. We're going to pray. Can I pray for you? I said, please. Any help I can get right now, I need. But see, that's what we need opposite that spirit of Penaniah has. And when a brother or sister is going through the trouble, I shouldn't be flaunting my stuff in front of them. I should be saying, brother, sister, I'm with you. And I'm going to pray with you until God brings the breakthrough. You know, it's too much of that competitiveness in the body of Christ these days. We ain't here to compete with one another. We're here to compliment one another. And so, worship, keep knocking. You know, I'm sure that that's why Jesus wrote those words in Luke 6, because he wrote them on Hannah's behalf. I believe that. You know what Luke said in Luke 11? I believe this is what he said. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it shall be open. I believe Jesus wrote those words, spoke those words, thinking of Hannah, the one who pursued and persisted until the door was open. Thirdly, worship with the adversary in your ear. We already went that way, and we already talked about that. She was in her ear. She was in, although she was in her ear saying all of these negativity things and saying what she had to say to Hannah. But she worshiped anyway, and she kept on pressing in. Can I just say to you, there was a reason for that? I'm going to conclude with this. Because Samuel was not any ordinary baby. And I don't know if you know or are aware of what happened and what took place in the seeking and the finding and her pressing in to get Samuel. Because it was a transition not only for Hannah, but there was transition for the nation of Israel. And because she was seeking after God, she was not only getting ready to receive something for herself, but she was about to receive something for the nation of Israel. They were in the middle of a transition from judges to kings. Glory be to God. They were being transitioned from out of being led by rules and regulations until being led by a king. Some of us are in a transition like that today. That's why we're going through what we're going through. It's because all of our relationship with God has been about rules and regulations, but God is taking us into the realm of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to move by his spirit in our lives. He's taking us out of the realm of being ruled by rules and regulations. And we're going to be led by a king. It's a transitional period. Your life is going through a transition, and he is teaching us to listen to the voice of the Savior. And pretty soon, you're going to be like Samuel, who the Bible says none of his words fell to the ground. Everything he said had an effect on everybody who heard it. And what God is doing in you and me is putting his spirit inside of us in a way that he has never known it before. That's why we're being transitioned and stretched and twisted and called upon him to ask, seek, and knock. It's because he's going to speak through us like he's never spoken before. Your day is coming. I don't know who this is for, but your day's coming. You said it wasn't, but God says today it is. And he's going to speak through you like you've never heard him speak before, because there are people out there that need him. They don't need your idea or your thought. They need Jesus. And so Jesus, the King, is going to speak through you with a word that's going to bring deliverance for them. It's coming. Enough is enough, amen? Let me close right here. You see, he's always promised that he would build this church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. He's always promised that. The challenge is for us today, is are we going to be a part of the building of it? He wants to use us to build his church. Yeah.
Are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to press through even though everybody else seems like, and everything seems like God's forgotten about me? He's remembering everybody. Are we going to press through until we get a hold of him? Until we receive what he has for us? The time is over for us to want what everybody else has. You know, that's really not good. To see what somebody else has and crave what they have. That's envy and jealousy in the worst degree. He wants us to go after what he has. You know, you can't be effective wanting or being what somebody else is. You know why? Because it's not truth. He can only anoint what's true. If you're true to yourself, he can anoint you. If you're true to his plan for your life, he can anoint you. But if you're craving and going after what somebody else has, it's not truth. Hannah would not have served herself any benefit by trying or wanting to be what and get what Peninnah had. She wanted what God had for her. Even though it looked like it wasn't going to happen, she pressed in until it happened. Can I encourage some of you today to press in? Press in because it's going to happen. It's coming. Hold steady. Old preacher, my dad used to say, hold steady, because it's on the way. My dad used to preach his message, a very powerful message, and he used to tune up. Well, Pop used to tune up. Well, I want to tell you something. Your blessing is on the way. It may not seem like it's here. You may think you've forgotten it in yesterday, but I got news for you. Your presence is, your blessing is not just now. Your blessing is forever, because what God has for you is not temporary. It's not something you could see, but it is something that'll last forever. It's on the way. Yeah, it's on the way. It may not be here now, but like the bus stop, you're waiting for the bus to come. Just pat your foot, because it's on the way. It's on the way. Yeah, it's on the way. Thought I'd give you a little snippet on my dad. Father, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your mercy. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll help us see.